Good morning, New Eden. Today is October 7th, 2023, and this is the Federation Frontline Report. My name is Frozen Fallout. I will be your host today. And with us, we have a very special guest. Baltic of the Megathron Mastery is here with us today to tell his story about how, you know, everything got started for the Great Baltic. And thank you for coming on to the show today. It's really awesome to have you, man.
It's no bother. I always enjoy helping out militia.
Are you a fellow Galentian?
Technically, I am. Well, I say technically, I am shooted on site for the Galendi Navy.
Oh.
Presumably because of what I've done to the Megathron. But honestly, I cannot remember how I ended up a kill on site for the Galendi. And at this point, I haven't really bothered to fix it yet.
I know how that goes. That's me with the Keldari, but I know how that happened. But yeah, so what are you up to these days? Who are you flying with?
So I'm with Pandemic Horde, and I'm enjoying life as a run-of-the-mill line member.
So are you still out and about in your Megathron all the time?
I am. I've just taken the Megathron out today. Unfortunately, didn't get any kills because, Megathron's big and slow. So... unfortunately, I was a little bit too late to every fight that's happened today. But I will eventually get around to killing something.
Yeah, it's a hunt sometimes. And yeah, when you're in a lumbering Megathron, have you still been able to fit them so they can be in like frigate fleets?
Strangely enough, yes. CCP have made recent changes, so Harpythron is now, in theory, a thing. So I've got to put one of those together.
Awesome. That's great to hear. I'm glad that because I know that there were time periods that I watched your FanFest presentation that you did on the Megathron. And that was a really cool presentation. I was like blown away when like I saw you at Iceland, and I was like, I know you from somewhere.
Sometimes it's like I've got one of those faces. Other times people actually remember me for doing the stupid stuff I get up to in a video game. It never stops being weird.
Awesome. So let's take the Wayback Machine here and kind of go back in time. How did you get involved in EVE in the first place, and when was that?
So this is a very long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. I was a refugee from Star Wars Galaxies.
Oh, yeah, I played Star Wars Galaxies. I also played Earth and Beyond, which was also another game that I got exiled from.
I don't know if you remember when the NGE came about in Galaxies, which was pretty much the final nail in the coffin for that game. We started hunting around for another game to play, and EVE Online ticked all the boxes.
Really. What year was this?
This would be back in 2006.
Okay,
when I finally made the move over.
That's when I made Frozen Fallout. Was 2006 November, I want to say.
I've got you being by a couple of months.
Oh, okay, yep. So, but Brethren in time. That's epic.
Yeah, I had tried EVE a couple of times before.
Yep, same here.
Why I've got a 1 in Baltic 1, because I can't remember the login details for the original Baltic. I couldn't be bothered to change the name. I'll go through, get the password again.
Yeah, I had that problem with Frozen Fallout, the original Frozen Fallout, I think I made him in 2005 or so, or just after when Earth and Beyond kind of fell apart. And I ended up, just putting one word, Frozen, no space, Fallout. So the second character that I made was able to actually be Frozen Space Fallout. So, and I was actually able to recover that account. That was nice.
I'll say my way of like picking a name was even more stupid. Basically, I threw a dart at a board with a map, and it landed in the Baltic Sea.
There you go.
That's how I ended up with Baltic.
That's pretty fucking cool, actually. I like that. That's super epic. All right, so you got in like primarily kind of you know, really took the dive in 2006. What was the first things that you were drawn to about the game?
So it was the freedom of ship fitting. It was one of the big things, because in Galaxies, I was widely known for flying ships around with very strange fits, strangely enough. Dogfighting TIE bombers, just for example.
Nice. All right, that's interesting. Yeah, that sounds like a Megathron in a frigate fleet. So
well, more or less is, yeah. Dogfighting those things with air wings, challenging, I'll tell you. But yeah, that's how I managed to get into it. And Dave Universe was just so much bigger for that sort of nonsense. So I just jumped in, kept running, and didn't stop.
So what were the first kind of steps that you took, like, once you got into EVE? How did you do the standard path of missions and mining in the beginning and staying in high set?
Oh, well, save Dave Online way back then. Basically, the tutorial was Haze Jervis, Haze 5000 disc, Haze a boot out the station, go have fun.
Yep, and that's all you got. I remember that.
So, yeah, you go out, you don't know what you're doing, you don't know where you are, you don't know what anything does. So, you wind up fitting mining lasers to cruisers, trying to dogfight things in a hauler.
The mining dummy well.
Oh, yeah, mine was the Apocalypse.
Yep.
Which is, incidentally, the first battleship I also lost was a mining Apocalypse. Fortunately, Killboard doesn't go back that far.
Yeah, no, I noticed that. Like, even the in-game, there's a cutoff point that... that I know killmails were around back then, but it wasn't the system as
There's two cutoffs from back then. There's the cutoff from when there is no information whatsoever.
Right.
The other one is, they'll have the ship, but you don't have the fit.
Yep. Yep, and then there's another one that, like, just before that was that, but it was in, like, email form or email form?
Oh, yeah,
or
yeah,
something
you got
like
an
that.
Email. Yeah, yeah, you got an email. Ara laughed at you when you got podded. It was a great time.
Yeah, because I think it was, like, 2005, 2006 when they actually implemented that. I was just listening to, like, Empires of EVE. But yeah, so... Yeah, the standard... I remember the 2006... standard EVE experience. It sounds like you got into that. What got you to actually stay with EVE Online?
So, I mean, I was lucky in a way, because our entire corporation came from Star Wars Galaxies. Our entire guild moved over.
Okay.
So, I had that going with me, and it's been the same guys all the way through, pretty much.
Even today, huh?
More or less, yeah. More or less today, it's the same sort of core of the corporation is from way back when.
That's awesome. Because, yeah, because yeah, I've had friends that, you know, I've had a lot of friends that have played EVE Online, and only a few of them still log in and do some stuff here and there. It's, you know, it's a long time to play this game, so it's, what, 17, almost 18 years?
Yeah,
like
I mean, no, we're celebrating, what, the 20th anniversary this year of EVE Online, and it's not going to be far for us to celebrate our 20th year playing the game.
Right.
We're three years out.
But, I mean, having that original strong bond of Star Wars Galaxies is probably a really cool, like, strong thing that allows you to, like you said, stick as a corporation. You've been doing this, you've been buddies all this time, been building this thing up. So that's cool. So you jumped right head into it. So did your corporation, you guys stuck around in high sec for a while. Did you end up going to, like, low sec, or did you guys head out to 0.0 right away?
Yeah,
or?
We went directly out to null sec into Vanal. 6NJ was our home system for a good few years. And this was, you know, back when Bob was around, you had Moses Meehy kicking about, and we effectively were pirates preying on the ship lanes back then. Because there wasn't a lot out in 00 to do at the time. I mean, the best form of income back then was belt ratting.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and I remember that belt ratting was... Yeah, belt to belt to belt. Hope you get a battleship, and then you could leave the like frigates. And so when you, by the time you got all the way back through all of the belts, then it would respawn as a battleship.
Respawn the battleships.
Yep. Yeah, I remember that one. Yep.
Shouting at people because they went in and killed your frigates.
Yeah, because we started out as like a group in LoSec, Old Man Star, like right away as our like we had like five guys from back in the day, like Coder, Delavon, Frozen Fallout, it was me. We had like a couple other people, Kumokuso, people like that. Well, he might have come a little bit later. But in any case, it was like a small group of us that got together and then made like a corporation, hung out, you know, Mech Enterprises group. And then, but I ended up like seeing and hearing about this 0.0 shit, and I was like, I had to check this out. So I joined up with the Interstellar Alcoholic Conglomerate during that time period. So I got to like experience belt ratting like 3 months in with just the dumbest ideas of what I should use for belt ratting.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, it was the greatest achievement. You got yourself your first battleship. I mean, back then, it was a huge thing to have a battleship. And the things we used to put on them were just abysmal.
Yeah. Yep. Small guns, medium guns, you know, just get the battleship hull so I could do the... I remember back before belt riding was mission running with, like level 3 missions. And, like, just being like, okay, if I can just get a bigger, faster... You know, like, or bigger, you know, more gun ship, I can just run through these quicker, and discovering that, man, mission running sucks, but,
Yeah.
Hey, Steve, how's it going, man? Got, Steve, one of our, very solid, subscribers, super awesome. But yeah, so, you guys, like, started off, you guys were solo, or did you join an alliance right away?
We're in the it was more of a corporation than an alliance sort of like thing back then. I think alliances were fairly new, but there wasn't a huge number of people in these things. It was, you know, you had the big ones, but I mean back then a big fight was, you know, 100 dudes, so it wasn't something you needed, I'll say, back then. But we did end up with them in a Romanian alliance, which was a lot of fun when things start getting hairy and they start speaking Romania. That's just, and we just sort of sat there going, I don't know what he said.
Yeah, I understand that language barrier really well because I got in with the Nisowa cartel that are Korean. Super awesome dudes, and I don't know a lick of Korean at all. And so I was like completely lost whenever, you know, things were being said, you know, tried to use Google Translate and stuff like that to figure some stuff out, but can't do that when you're on
comms. I mean, we didn't have Google Translate back then.
Yeah, this was recently for me, luckily. So yeah, 2006, yeah, that was, luckily I got to be with like just a bunch of drunken idiots who just wanted to throw themselves into war, death, and destruction, and kind of gave me the first understandings of what fleet fights were like.
Oh yeah, I mean, it's, the early days of fleet fights were a very different thing. You didn't have logi like you have today. It was, I mean, the logi boats back then were more or less useless, so nobody flew them. So it was just a battle of attrition from start to finish.
So did you guys participate in like the first or second Great Wars in the beginning? Because I know that that was like the first Great War was right around like 2006, 2007, I believe.
We did, but it was like it was a bit part. We were harassing Moses Meehy at the time.
Okay.
So basically, we were just a little pain in the side of them, in Vaynel, just poking away. Which is I don't know if you remember it, the Battle of Six Engier, which at the time was the biggest slaughter of titans and supercapitals. can't remember the exact date. Was that
you're talking about the Pandemic Legion one, right?
No. White Noise was involved, and it was against Moses Mayhe.
Against Moses Mayhe.
So this is going a long way back. I don't think it was in the Great War itself. I mean, this is where memory sort of gets fuzzy.
Yeah. No, human memory is rough. Definitely.
But we basically were in the system waiting for them. White Noise, which at the time were one of the big powerhouses, they had a trap waiting for them. They jumped their Titans and Supers into the system, and of course back then Tiddy didn't exist. So when you went in second, you either got a fight or you got a black screen, and they got the black screen. So essentially they couldn't do anything, and we ate their Super and Titan fleet.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it does suck.
It's awesome, yeah, to be the one eating them. It would suck if you were losing your Titan or Super in that situation, which is why tie-dye is actually pretty fucking good. Like,
yeah, I mean, keep in mind, there's a lot of new people that have only ever experienced tie-dye, and us old farts.
Yeah,
keep reminding them, trust us, it can be a lot worse than this.
So much worse. Like, things are happening, dude. Slowly, but they're happening. Like,
yeah, it might be happening frame by frame, but at least it's happening.
So when did you first get into being a master of the Megathron?
That came about completely accidentally. So it wasn't something I really planned for. It was more to irritate my CEO at the time. So we would be going out in our little fleet, and I don't know why exactly I got a liking for the ship, but I just did. So I started taking it out on those fleets. It was just nice and simple. Simple fits. We weren't going up against anything particularly tough. So it was just more to irritate our guys rather than the enemy. And it just sort of ballooned from that point. Not long after I started doing it, we ended up joining Goons. And for some reason, they allowed me to continue with it.
Right, so you...
I've never really understood why, to this day.
Well, I mean, it's not like you were asking for reimbursement, right? Or any...
No. I never got reimbursement for these ships.
And you also, tried to design it so that it wasn't holding up the fleet, right? Like, so you'd put, like, really weird fits, like, you know...
Oh, yeah, well, that one, that did come a little bit later. I mean, it started out with standard fleet with Goons. Then started getting involved in Roman fleet. And this thing would survive and survive. Did okay. It was, you know, something funny. And then... it all really kicked off with the Fountain War. I started being allowed to take it in the actual Stratop fleet. Because, I would fit this thing so it wasn't a hindrance. That was the number one rule. Can't go if it's a hindrance. So, it would go out with the Caracal fleet, which was a bad idea at the time. The Caracal fleet would go out. Everyone would die, apart from the Megathron, which would come back. And this just kept on happening for weeks, months. And it just became sort of like, you know, a meme, really.
How is that? How you, like, do you feel, like, honored by, like, all of this? Like, you become a legend of the Megathron. Like, that is just insane. Rookie Bear, thank you so much for the raid. Hey, Big Phil, how's it going, man? Thank you all. We'll get to the follows. I think we'll do that at the end, depending. Like, we'll see what pops in. But yeah, thank you guys for coming here. We're just talking right now about Baltic and how he became a legend with the Megathron. So I was just asking, what like, how do you feel about being the legend of the Megathron?
It's so weird. I mean, it shouldn't be happening, really. Anyone, any sane sort of like person would just turn around and say, no, this shouldn't be happening. But it's just the fact that it does. It just makes it so funny.
It's an unbelievable journey of, like, I mean, is that the, you will fly other ships, right? But the Megathron was, what would you say, like, 80%? Or what percentage do you think you would use the Megathron over any other ship throughout time?
Oh, it's all the time.
All the time. So, do you fly anything else? Have you ever? I mean, like in the past.
Oh yeah, I've got all sorts of nonsense in the fleet hangar. I have been trying to make the Thunderchild work as a ship. I haven't managed it yet. I did come close when everybody was flying around in Cormorant Fleet. Turns out Thunderchild is very good against Cormorant Fleet. Fortunately, by the time I'd figured out how to fit it up and how to get it all going, everyone stopped using Cormorant Fleet, so it became a little bit useless again.
Yeah, that bounce at damage that it does, where it just hits everybody, and if you get a good hit off on them, like I could see like them all popping
it's,
in one.
It's a brilliant concept, but it suffers from a fatal flaw, which is basically, you can't have it be too good, because otherwise you'll end up with fleets of these things just deleting everything. Unfortunately, that means it's going to be bad, because it has to be, because otherwise it would just be so oppressive. There's a sweet spot in there somewhere. They haven't quite hit it yet.
There's a special niche for it, I think, in a couple of things. I've seen it used for some interesting like PvE activities, if you get like a bunch of them together. Stuff like that you can do.
Yeah, I use it for Rattan. It's very good at drones.
Right. So, what were some of the like most epic like things that you've done with a Megathron? Do you have any specific stories about how you went in with a Megathron, came out alive, or even dead, because, you know, but it was still something epic?
Well, I used the same Megathron throughout the entire Fountain War. It didn't die. So that's one big check mark going for it. My favourite one was probably one of the Caracal fleets, where we went deep into test space. Everybody died. And then I ended up getting chased by interceptors. It was out of Fountain. I ended up having to go through High Sec to try and get back around to where we were staging. I think it was something like 70 jumps. Ended up doing. Managed to escape the interceptors once I hit High Sec. Then the High Sec pirates got involved. Because, Megathron, let's go get them. So I ended up getting chased through High Sec back into Low Sec. And then all the Lowseckers saw me, and they decided to chase me all the way to Nullsec. It went on for about an hour. Just me running away.
I remember running around with battleships in the day, like, just getting chased by them. One time I took a Dami out into the middle of, like, the drone regions or something, and just to, like, check it out. This had to have been before I was even in IAC, I think. In any case, I remember I was out there and I just went up and I was like, hey, can I dock at your guys' station? Like, and then just a whole bunch of shit undocked and like started like chasing me, but I was able to get away. Like, I just like kept on just randomly hitting gates, like somehow, some way the interceptor, like, I think they just had like a T1 frigate that was trying to chase me down. And this is before the warp changes. So like,
yeah, I should point out this was before the warp changes came in. It was a lot easier for battleships too much to evade interceptors back then.
Yeah, so you got out completely alive, and you were, or did you get caught in zero?
They caught me a few times. The thing managed to get back. It was, I'd say, it was on fire. when it got back, but it did get back.
I remember they used to have big flames that used to shoot out of the ship.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah! You hit hull and you knew it because there was this great big orange jet coming out the side of your ship.
Oh, that's just, yeah. That brings back so many memories of doing stupid shit with a bunch of battleships and thinking we were top shit until we like went out to low sector 0.0 and just got our asses stomped. but sometimes being able to get away and then you just run with your battleship. So in the beginning, you kind of, you know, you learned how to keep it up with frigates. And what were some of the times that CCP changed stuff so that it made it so you couldn't really keep up with frigates and you couldn't really take it on frigate fleets? Was there ever a time that you felt that just isn't going to work? Well,
when the warp speed changes came in, originally I thought, oh, that's it. You know, battleship can't keep up with frigate fleets. Usefully, though, they introduced mods and implants to help you increase your warp speed. So I ended up flying around there, what was it, like a 2-point-something bill Megathron in a fleet full of, like, harpies that are, like, worth 50-odd mil. So it's probably just as well I didn't die, because nobody knew what the fit I had at the time was.
So was that the fit or what you had in your head?
Oh, it was the fit. It was the fit, and what I had in my head was just everything was just geared towards speed, essentially.
So you were dumping billions of ISK into the fit and into your head in order to make it so that you could keep up with
a 55 mil frigate.
So were these like these are going to be pretty thin Megathrons then, right? Or even shield fit?
Oh, they're definitely shield fit. Yeah, I had 3 mid slots to play with for the tank.
3 mids for your battleship tank.
Believe it or not, though, because we were flying around in, let's say, Caracals or Harpies. The fleets we were going up against were geared towards shooting at Harpies, Caracals, but not a Megathron.
Right.
So the Logie in the fleets were actually able to keep the Megathron up.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, if you've got some decent Logi and
yeah. It actually became a bit of a bullet magnet.
Right, yeah, because it's like, oh yeah, kill the Megathron. That's a pricey thing.
They'd see the big shiny thing, they'd go to shoot the big shiny thing, and it would end up, you know, tanking whatever was coming its way, and then our fleet would, you know, pick off what it wanted to while I was being the distraction. Surprise, they ended up stopped doing that when they realized they couldn't actually kill me.
Yeah, sometimes you gotta leave that for later, you know, and you gotta get the tackle and the Logi and everything, you know, kill those fuckers.
I have been told that the test FCs at the time found the ship to be a little infuriating.
What's the if you had a suggestion to people as to like what kind of crazy fits that they can kind of pull off, is there any kind of like suggestions that you have for some things that you've done with like the Megathron that maybe could be replicated in other areas?
Essentially, pick a ship that you like the look of. There's very few ships in EVE that are like objectively bad. There's very few.
I agree with that.
You can get something out of pretty much anything. Pick a ship you like the look of and just get dying in it. You will eventually learn how to fly the thing. And there's only so many skill points you can shove into a specific ship. So that's probably the best advice you can have for the game in general. Pick something, specialize in it, and you'll get good at it.
Yeah, try different weird, you know, stuff. You can, you know, figure out how to make a battleship, a Megathron, you know, get into a frigate fleet. You can figure out a lot of weird stuff that you can have out there. And, you know, play with stuff. Be willing to lose stuff is huge. Like Baltic said, like, I think if you've lost the ship 150 times, you've just learned, you know, young Padawan, how to lose the ship. Now you will you know, you probably have gotten some kills at the, you know, if you've lost 150 ships, you probably have gotten a kill in that time, like that solo and stuff. Especially if you're going solo, that's really huge. Big fleets, you have a lot less likelihood of dying, actually, the bigger the fleet. Well, not necessarily. That can,
well,
that
unless,
can go
unless
different
your
directions.
Name starts, yeah, unless you've got a name that starts near the top of the alphabet.
Yeah, be careful
or,
about
you know,
that.
People actually know who you are. So yep. Being a B and being slightly famous does make it a little bit more difficult.
Yes, that does. It, have you ever felt like that? That really was like that you were targeted when you were going out?
I mean,
out?
Back in the day, yeah, because target calling back there, well, back in the day, was pretty much start with the ears, work your way down.
I remember that. I remember that was huge, like before broadcasting.
Yeah, well, I mean, broadcasting wasn't a thing for a long time because there was no
Logi. Long time. Yeah.
So,
I mean, there was Logi, but there wasn't. Like...
Yeah. So, I mean, one of my favorite battles. I can't remember the name of the system. But it was when White Noise were on an absolute rampage and they were trying to turf goons out of their space. And it, basically, it became. RT Maelstroms versus a Sea of Drakes. And yeah, the target calling was basically shoot Drake A, shoot Drake B, go down the list, and we just kept throwing Drakes at them. Strange enough, this is how the Megathron actually kind of started going into the big fleets, because I ran out of Drakes. And I was chopped around. What have we got left? Megathron's there. So I hurriedly slapped on a Drake-like tank and threw it into the fight. And it lived. Some people say, oh yeah, you must have done a good job, warping off when people target you, things like that. No. I lived because they were targeting battlecruisers. So I wasn't on the overview. I was in the battleship.
Yeah.
So I was invisible.
Magic.
That's how I managed to survive that flight. That fight.
That's epic. That is super. That's man. That is. It's just. It's crazy to see that. You know that. I never even thought about like just jumping and having that being like this is my one ship. This is the thing that I do. And I'm gonna just fly because I mean I've. Definitely got my favorites, the Gnosis, the Thrasher, you know, the Stabber, the ENI, you know, a few others that are out there, but I think that you've probably gotten to a level of understanding with the Megathron that I'll never be able to understand.
Oh, I mean, it's been a few years, I'll admit, but I think anyone can reach that sort of level. Oddly, a great ship to start like prattling about in is the Neuros, the hauler. You slap on a tank like the old Drakes used to have, passive tank on it, fit a web, a point, a gun, and you got a drone bear. And it's actually not a terrible PvP ship.
Yeah, you can do some I really like the ability so I do faction warfare. One of the reasons why I do faction warfare is to play the bait or just look for one for one-on-ones is to just sit inside of a plex with like a Comet or a Tristian or something and just sit on the point, wait for somebody to come in and try and fuck with me, scram, web, newt, fucking kill them. Like, this is, you know, just fun times and, you know, great oldies. And, like, just being able to sit and pull in stuff is always a fun time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the best way to get a fight is to just make everything come to you.
Yeah, yep. That's the reason why I stream when I PvP a lot of the times, because I'm like, fuck it. Come fuck with us, you know, maybe we'll get, you know, like, I've seen it plenty of times, and I've done it, not as much, but, you know, where you find that super bling ship, and you just blow that fucker up, and then you get the fuck out. Like, you know, save as many as you can, but if you kill, like, you know, 5 billion isk worth of shit and you only lost 1 billion isk, who gives a fuck, right?
I mean, I'm all about fun. I always say to people, always people get hung up on the kill boards. And to me, they're just another tool. You look at the kill boards and see what somebody's been up to, what ships like to fly, things like that. People look at their kill boards and sort of like, oh, is it positive? Is it negative? I don't care.
So did you ever talk to the historian of that wrote Empires of Eve?
I didn't, no. I think he got most of his information from everybody, sort of like the FCs and that I flew under. And they were able like to tell a story. I've just getting Empires of Eve 2, so I've not actually read it myself yet.
Yeah,
I've been told I'm in there, but
I was expecting that you would be. I'm listening to it right now. It's on Audible now. So I like listen to like Empires of Eve like a lot, like stupidly a lot. Like my wife kind of is like, really? Are you like, because when we're driving, if you're the driver, you get to pick what gets to be the radio show or the, you know, the podcast or the audiobook that we get to listen to when we're driving to like Gen Con that's like 5 hours away, and I'll be like, Empires of Eve. So I'm interested to see, because what was the year that they named the Baltic Fleet after you? Do you remember? I feel like, because I remember when it was
in the middle of the Fountain War.
So that's like 2010? 10, yeah. Yeah, it would be, because I'm just listening to, that's the part that I'm at right now, as they were talking about the Fountain War, the fall. Like, Bob had just lost their name. Goonswarm, I believe, had just lost, or did not had lost their name yet, and that's when the Fountain War happens, and then they lose their name after that, right, and then become Goonswarm Federation.
Oh, no, that happens before the Fountain War.
Before the Fountain War. So,
yeah. So, basically, it's essentially Bob...
Bob gets
stolen, then the exact same thing happens to Goons.
Yeah, Bob becomes IT. IT yeah. attacks Fountain, or like takes Fountain from Pandemic Legion, and Pandemic Legion lost an insane amount of Titans, like, because there was like 3 that had been lost up to that point, and then Pandemic Legion lost like 6. And I remember that very distinctly. I think I was in mostly Harmless at the time. Yeah, that was so. I'm up to that point. And
the Fountain War comes about. It's when they did the Technamtian changes. It's basically Mungu changes.
Yep, yep.
And it was the fight between Goons and Test, who were in Fountain.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Never mind. So that's further down the line.
Oh yeah, it's further down the line.
Okay, yeah, so Goons
that
have already gone through that, and yep, done all that stuff, and then it gets to the point where, yeah, so Test had been friends with Goons, and Goons kind of said, okay, well, we're taking Fountain, like, this is where all the good moons are, right?
It was essentially a war over money.
And was there a specific change that happened in the Megathron that made it be like, okay, this is, everybody needs to fly a Baltic Megathron?
V has told this story to me a couple of times, and I keep forgetting it. Well, essentially, they were hunting around for a better option than what we had at the time, because we'd made the transition, because everybody had been flying Drakes, which then turned into everybody flies the Tengu, which is basically a better Drake. And then the T3 nerfs came in, I think, about just before that happened. The war happened, and we ended up looking around for different things. We ended up with Caracal Fleet, which is an unmitigated disaster. And they were looking around for something that could do all the jobs that they wanted it to do. They just ended up falling onto the Megathron. which ticked all their boxes. And of course, they hunted around for what they should name the thing. And some bright spark decided, hey, we'll call it after Baldic because, you know, he's famously always flying them.
That is awesome. Like, yeah, that is... So I'm betting that's, like, what... How were you informed of this? Did you get any prior notification?
I got no notice whatsoever. I found out when everybody else did. And of course... My reaction was pretty much just, oh no, what have I done?
You've brought the Megathron to the goons, man. So, yeah.
Yeah, everybody thinks I came up with the Megathron Doctrine, Baldic Fleet, and nope, I didn't. I just got named after me because I'm stubborn.
Awesome. Yeah, no, that's... you get fame sometimes by being a stubborn person. Like, that's... That's cool, because, I mean, everybody does, like, the, you know, can I bring my Drake, and don't mean it, but it would be, you know, sometimes you do get the Drake fanatic, and they're like, I'm bringing Drake, like, I'm coming with it, and so you picked a ship. I love the look of the Megathron. I think it is one of the most sexy, it's like Nyx Megathron, and then, what would be after the, Well, Vertical Supremacy is pretty epic. What is that? The Naglfar?
The Nag.
Yeah, the Nag is pretty good. But the Megathron is, like, out of all the ships in EVE, besides... Like, that's one of the reasons why I got the anniversary thing, is because the Megathron is... Did you end up getting the anniversary? Because it's got a Megathron in it.
As soon as they announced it, pretty much I was all for it. It's pretty much tailor-made to draw me in.
Yeah, it was like...
They knew exactly what they were doing.
They were like, Frozen Fallout and Baltic will buy this just to get that Megathron. Like, that's...
Yeah, I did have quite a few... pings on Discord, like, saying, hey, have you seen this? Yes, I've already bought it.
Yes. When do we get that, by the way? I want my shit, man.
Oh, I want to say it next year sometime. It's whenever it goes into production.
Good, man.
It goes into production sooner if everybody buys it, so let's plug it.
Everybody, buy the 20th anniversary. It's got a fucking Megathron in it. Plus a bunch of skins that you can probably sell in-game for a bunch of fucking isk that's worth more than what the 20th anniversary is. Just hold on to them for like a year, or sell them day one, hour one, the moment that you can possibly sell them, and put it up for like 20 billion or 100 billion isk, and somebody might bite like right away. I sold some crazy Megathron Navy issues back in when they first released. Like day one, I was able to hand out some blueprints for them. And I was getting paid, I want to say, like, $4 billion per blueprint. I have to double-check that, but it was ridiculous. Like,
There is a reason why I didn't fly a Navy Megathron for quite some time.
No, this was Navy Moros is what I meant.
Oh, the Moros, yes. All right.
Yeah, the Navy Moros when it first got released just recently. But it is nice having access to the Navy Megathron. That is, we get it on the cheap, so.
Yeah.
Kind of. I mean, it's like saying that you get rocks on the cheap for mining them yourself. But.
Well, I mean, it's all relative, really.
Right.
One of the big problems I've got is I'm very, very good at spending the money, but I'm not very good at making it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm going to kind of use this as like a lead-in. I want to talk about FanFest, and this kind of was an experience. Speaking of being, I'm normally poor as fuck, but I just got, I spun the wheel at FanFest, and I was like, okay, I got 500 Plex, got this skin, and then I got the EVE Online magazine. I was like, oh, that's cool. What, like, I look up the skin, and I'm like, I don't know if this is right, but it's saying something like 40 billion isk. Like,
that could well be.
That can't be. So, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's weird.
Well, here's another little fun little thing. I can't remember which issue it is, but I'm actually in one of the Aeon magazines for Fate.
That's probably not the one I have, because it's 2000. The one I got that was 2006, so like my true birth date for Frozen Fallout, I was like, well, fuck, man. Fates are like speaking to me right now.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was the 50 million isk challenge, the one that PvP fit ship, and I submitted the Iteron 5 as part of that.
Nice.
The reason for that one is it wasn't long after I'd actually killed a rock in that Iteron 5. Took me half an hour, but I did bring it down.
Oh, that's epic. So, in the end, yeah, I sold it for 42 billion isk because it was the Ikatursa casino skin. And yeah. I like got an offer for 30 billion, like went on Reddit, was like, what the fuck should I do? I don't even know, like, I've never had a single item that was worth more than probably like 5 billion isk. Like, I got like an officer mod here or there that was worth a decent amount just for that one item, but I had never had this like epic thing. So that's like an experience I'm going to take with me from FanFest. How many FanFests have you been to at this point?
Oh, see, now somebody asked me that one this year, and I was pretty confident that I was like, oh, I've been to like four of them. And then I went to that wall, the history wall.
Yes, yeah, I took a picture of everyone.
I was like, oh, no, wait, I've been to a lot more. Yeah, so I'm up to seven at this point.
Seven, wow. So have you skipped a fan fest yet, or what's
only due to COVID.
Okay, but that everybody got cancelled, right?
Yeah. So that's the only reason. Literally, a pandemic stopped me from going to these things.
Okay, so this is like a yearly pilgrimage that you have to the great FanFest gathering.
I mean, it's partly because I love going to these events, and partly because Iceland is just such an awesome place. It's like my go-to kiddies playground at this point.
Oh yeah, no, yeah. When you've been going enough, I would imagine that that's. I can't wait. I'm going to the 2000. I've already got my tickets to 2025. My wife and I both said that this is better than Gen Con, and I go to Gen Con every year religiously. Like the same pilgrimage that I do is that you do for FanFest is what I do for Gen Con, and I've been doing that for, I want to say, 15 years plus, more than that probably. I think I started in 2003, skipped a few, and then like have just been super huge into going since 2007 or something like that. But anyways, so you have been going to these for a long time. You sound like this is, you've been around the block a few times. What'd you think of this 20th anniversary? Was this special in any way, or would you say this kind of like fit the standard model?
Yeah, it was pretty good. Last year there were, I want to say it was sort of like getting used to it after the pandemic.
Yes.
Because, yes. They hadn't done it for a while, we hadn't done it for a while. This year they've learned all the mistakes they made last year, and yeah, it was great. And the announcement that it's back in Harper in 2025 is just amazing, because Harper is by far the best venue in Iceland.
Yeah, I'm really excited for it to all be downtown and to get like a downtown hotel, because we got a hotel like right across from the convention center, but that wasn't as convenient as it was like 50% convenient, right? Like,
oh yeah, I mean last year
no matter where you were, it was only 50% convenient, but downtown is kind of the place to be when you're going to be out till 3 and after 3.
Yeah, I got like a nice halfway hotel. It's very important when you go to these events. So top tip for anyone that's thinking of going to these things, make sure your hotel is within stagger distance.
No, that's great advice. and the downtown is got a lot of, like, did you go to Big Lebowski's a bunch? Or I know that that was
big sites
that we hit up a lot.
There's always a few places that you always end up going to when you go to these things. The karaoke night on Wednesday night is always a top-notch thing. Lebowski's, you always end up in Lebowski's at some point.
We did the trivia night. That was super cool.
I think I missed that. I think I was doing the Northern Lights.
Okay, yep. That was right at that time, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the first time in a good few years I've actually managed to see them. First 2 years I went, I didn't have a camera and I had amazing Northern Lights. So I bought myself a nice big DSL camera. Didn't see a single thing with that camera. So this year I thought, right, I'm going to leave it at home and see what happens. And sure enough, Northern Lights. So yeah, camera's cursed and staying home.
That's funny. That's, you know, gotta watch out for those curses, man. It's a magical world we live in. So, I mean, you know, lots of weird shit going on. So, knocking on wood, always, you know, be safe out there. Anyways, but yeah, what'd you think of the announcement? So, like, overall, you know, well, okay, hold on. Before I go to announcements, just because we were talking about different kind of events and stuff, did you go to the pub crawl?
Oh, yeah, I do that every time.
So what do you think of this? Because I heard that they've changed formats a few times throughout the history of the pub crawl. In this one, they did, what was it, two bars and then meet up. You did a bunch of different groups, two bars, and then meet up at the end at one big giant venue. And I was talking to a dev about this. What do you think about that change up compared to what was going on the other years?
So this was a good one. I'll say that now. It's not the best one they've ever done.
Oh.
I think that one has to be when they did a bus tour. So, like, basically a bus crawl around the outskirts. They went to all sorts of fantastic places. So you're drinking beer with horses. They went to a stables, which just happened to have a bar attached to it. They went to, like, I don't know if you saw them there, the Viking cosplayers.
Oh, yeah, that was at the beginning. Yeah,
there's an actual Viking longhouse, like, pub thing, theme pub, and they have those dudes there. So they went to that one. Of course, you met with the Vikings when you come off, and they're busy, like, bashing each other. Yeah, that was a really good one. They didn't book enough buses, though. We had a few volunteers, including myself, who got off the buses. And we got a minibus to go around the places.
As
we're getting off the bus, everybody's handing us cans of beer. So I'm like, oh, thanks for volunteering. So we ended up as the most well-stocked bus in Iceland. Because all of us had, like, at least half a crate of beer going on to this thing.
Epic. Epic. So this year, though, what'd you think of the meeting up at one spot where everybody got to meet up together? Was that kind of normal in any other
place? This is how they'd normally finish off a pub crawl. They always go to a big venue at the end of it, so everyone just gathers together. For the first good few years, we met up at this sort of, best way to describe it is just basically a house next to the lake. And it's got two floors with bars on each floor. And you've got at least 1,000 nerds crammed into this essentially semi-detached house. So you can imagine there's no room to move in there. It's really sweaty and there's vomit in every corner.
Oh, man.
So that was the pub crawl experience that we used to get.
Well, it seems like the end venue was a lot better this time than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this year you had loads of space. You had a chandelier.
Yeah, the dance floor was kicking.
Yeah, it was pretty great.
Yeah, no, it was awesome.
The floor wasn't sticky.
There was a little bit of the dance floor that had a sticky floor. That was that I ran into, but that's expected. It's a dance floor.
Yeah,
so
no,
the rest
year,
of the area
was great.
Good.
Yeah.
That was a really good end of the night with the pub crawl, so would you say that overall? You enjoyed the, like, special stuff that they were doing with FanFest at all this year? Did you feel that they're with the 20th anniversary that they did some things that were actually very new or special at this point, or was this kind of the same old?
That's like all the shops and like the tombola thing, the spinny wheel thing that they had, all that was new. So yeah, that was great. Having all that, they had, you know, the extra rooms for all the presentations going on. So yeah, it was pretty good this year.
Was there anything in the announcements that you were like super excited about?
I mean, this is the nerd in me. I got really excited about the James Webb presentation.
I took pictures of every single slide that they had up on the game. I was going to record it, but I just was like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take a picture of every slide. Try and have that as my special memory.
It is an ongoing thing. So we've got ESA coming in this year. We've had, with the Space Probe, we've had talks from JPL, NASA. One year he did actually in Vegas. He did actually bring a couple of the prototype Mars rovers to play around with, and he ended up using me as terrain. So I've got another claim to fame of I got run over by a NASA prototype rover.
Hell yeah, man! That's super epic. And was there anything game-wise that you were super excited about? Are you interested at all in the pirate faction warfare or the Vanguard announcement that they made?
Well, Vanguard, yeah, of course. I'm quite happy with Vanguard coming out. We've known, a few of us have known it's been coming for quite some time. We just didn't know details until now. We've known for a good few years. London Crew has been working on that one, but yeah, I'm very, very excited about the new system. It's basically a super highway.
The super highway is pretty sweet. I'm going to be using that a lot in my Spectre fleets. So
that's good. That's going to be an interesting one. We'll see how badly that's hell camped by somebody.
So far, it ain't so bad. So we'll see though. Somebody's gonna camp it. Somebody's.
Oh yeah, but I've yet to get a throne in there, so I'll have to deal with that at some point.
Are you looking to do any kind of enlistment at all? For even just short periods of time, if you're capable of doing that, or even if you need to stand, do some standing grind or some special stuff they might have out for standings.
Given that we've been. I spent like the majority of my time shooting Gurus' pirates. I'm probably gonna have to sort that problem out.
Oh, you're not gonna go Angel. You're gonna go Garista. If you did do that.
I'm not. Well, this is the thing. I'm not too sure. I mean, with them bringing out the alligator, which is basically a snappy Drake, might have to say about doing something about that one. But the Angels are lovely ships. So. I'm very excited for trying out the new toys for them.
Yeah, I really want that Angel Titan. I think that I'm going to dedicate the rest of my career to having an Angel Titan. Like that's just the thing that needs to happen now. So we'll see.
The thought of me in a Titan is absolutely terrifying.
Yes, and the likelihood that I'll be able to actually. I mean, I guess it's going to be a long ways away, so by that time, maybe I'll have a Keepstar that I can trust. But Federation Frontline Report does not have access to a Keepstar that I would trust at this point. So.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
So, kind of getting to the end of the show here, though, but I wanted to make sure that I gave you some time here. Is there any projects, any special things that you want to shout out to? Any corps, people, anything that you want to give shout outs to or any special projects that you're working on right now?
Well, I mean, I could always give the shout out to the old Join Horde. as far as goals for me are concerned, the big one at the minute is, unfortunately, hangar clean out.
I know how that feels. I need
Yeah,
to do a good
that's.
spring cleaning at some point here.
Oh, that yeah, that's an entire project all by itself. It's probably going to last for a good month. But aside from that one, I've got my eyes on a couple of new ships that I'm wanting to try out. Pirate ships included. See how that one's going to go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on to the show here. It's been a blast talking to you. It's been a real honor.
Oh, it's been a pleasure.
So yeah, maybe we'll have to bring you back here at some point. Maybe when I talk to you again at the next Fan Fest, and we'll have to do arrange a new meeting at that time, if not sooner.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Awesome. Well, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. Definitely check out the Federation Frontline Report. We do our podcast normally at 2200 Eve time on Sundays. And then, special guests get special treatment, and they get their own time segments that we put this out. Definitely been a blast talking to Baltic and really getting to get into and learn the past and take me into that Wayback Machine. Like you said, check out Pandemic Horde. I know that they've got a lot of easy to jump into corporations that anybody can join. From my understanding, is that like spies welcome is kind of their mantra, is what I've
Oh,
heard.
yeah.
Yeah, go out there, have fun, stay safe, stay reckless, one of the two, or both at the same time. Thank you all. Have a great night.